This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So I give you an example. One friend, or this young brother I knew, he went to a masjid and he was hosting a sheikh, like he was driving him around. And the sheikh came to give Salatul Jum'ah. And so he went to go give the khutbah. And when he entered into the masjid, the sheikh prayed two rak'ahs as a greeting to the masjid, tahiyatul masjid. He walks in and he makes, and this guy was so enamored, he was such like a fan, right, of the sheikh, that he said, while the sheikh was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, I was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha also, just to see like how long he was going to take and all that type of stuff. And he said, the sheikh went into ruku' before I could even finish Surah Al-Fatiha. And he said, my iman went down. He was like, I was so disappointed. Like, how did he... And my response to him was, people are at different skill levels. Yes, it might take you a particular amount of time to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, but that doesn't mean that it takes him that amount of time. And in fact, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer would be so light that I would wonder if he recited Surah Al-Fatiha or not. Like, did he finish Surah Al-Fatiha, right? So this is something that's important to keep in mind, is that what takes you a certain amount of time to do something might not take another individual the same amount of time.
What is an example of Surah Al-Fatiha recited lightly?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. But that's my pace.
Right.
There might be somebody who goes even faster than that.
Like sometimes, like I've heard, like, you know, people, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim,
yeah, they connect everything.
And they just kind of like flow through it.
Yep.
But like, I think the distinction here is like, if somebody was doing that leading a congregation,
not leading a congregation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's different.
I think this is where the gentleman might have kind of misconstrued the idea of really religiosity and virtue.
Yep.
I was like his teacher here is doing a warm up.
Yep.
Right.
And who knows what else? He also has a Jum'ah that he's about to get up, and maybe they're like, I don't know what the details were, but the idea here is that people have different paces. Recognize people's paces. Some people will go slower naturally. Some people are naturally faster. Number two, what is also not necessarily a something that is not considered a lack of khushu' is moving in the salah. There's a famous hadith that's actually weak, between weak and fabricated, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that he saw a man playing with his beard, like absentmindedly with his beard, and he said, if this person's heart was tranquil, their body would have been tranquil as well. And so because of this idea, you have this notion of, if I move in the salah, this is something that's dangerous to my prayer. Even, I'm sure many have experienced this, maybe Bilal, you've experienced this as well, a guy's cell phone goes off in the salah and it's distracting everybody, and the guy does not move to turn it off. He does not move. He's just there, because if I move, then that's gonna mess up my salah. It's like there are levels and there are different things with regard to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. Actually, let's go through this. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he stated that the basic ruling with regards to moving while praying is that it's makruh, obviously, because it is a position of stillness. You are standing in front of the King of Kings. You are in a position of servitude. I'm standing and I'm reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm in front of Allah. Like, there's supposed to be a poise that I have. And definitely if I'm standing in front of like a king, I'm not going to be sitting there going like this and yawning and doing all of these things.
Yeah. Not only that, like if you're standing in front of a king, your cell phone goes off. You're not going to let it ring.
You're going to turn it off as soon as possible. Absolutely. You're going to turn it off as soon as possible. And so Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentions that there are obligatory movements, forbidden movements, makruh movements, mustahab movements, and permissible movements. So there are obligatory movements in the prayer. What's an example of an obligatory movement in the prayer? An obligatory movement in the prayer is you glance down on your shoes, for example, and you realize that there is some sort of filth on them. When I say filth, I don't mean dirt or dust. I mean something that's an impurity. Yes, a person stepped on dog poop, for example, and they see that on their shoe, and so, okay, I have to take off my shoes. And that's exactly what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was leading a prayer once in the masjid, and he took off his sandals while in the prayer, and the Sahaba who were behind him also took off their sandals. Okay, and this also, quick tangent, this shows us that praying in your shoes and your sandals is perfectly acceptable, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that in the masjid. The question then becomes, well, how come we can't wear shoes in the masjid? Because they're carpeted. and they're carpeted. So I don't want you to think, like, I remember one kid when I was in university, he wanted to follow the sunnah, so he walked into the masjid with his shoes on.
Oh boy.
Like, with his sneakers, he walked into the masjid. And obviously the community is not going to respond well to that type of he was young and he was...
An interesting thought would be is that instead of putting carpeting and expensive, all that stuff, what if they were to put turf?
Yeah, so if you put turf, or if your masjid is sand. Like, for example, the opposite example of that is, I'm in Sudan praying Jum'ah, and Jum'ah is always spillover. The later you come, the masjid is full, and then they've got some areas of shade outside. Those are immediately full. And if you came late, which I did with my uncles, we came late to the point where we're just in the sun. And there's a whole row of people in the sun, and they start taking off their shoes. And I'm like, there's no way. This sand is
scorching
so hot. Yes, it is scorching. But they're all like, no, you can't pray with your shoes on. I'm like, what do you mean? Of course you can pray with your shoes on. And this is the perfect time to pray with your shoes on. And so I'm standing in my row, and I'm like, Allah. And this one's pinching me over here. They're like, like, take your shoes off. And I'm like, no. And then the other one's pinching me. He's like, no. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. And I'm the one coming from America, right? So they're like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And so I'm like, Allahu Akbar, and I start praying. And after the salah, I'm ready to have this debate with them that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed with his shoes on, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded, he said, pray with your shoes. And so they got up, and I was like, listen, the Prophet, and they're like, listen, we're okay. We just told everybody you're crazy. They're like, we just told everybody you're crazy. No, we're
good. Oh, man.
They're like, we're not trying to have this debate with you. So the point is, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw filth on his shoe, and so he took it off. And that's why he told the companions. Afterwards, he asked them, he said, why did you take your shoes off? They said, well, you saw you do it. And he said, no, Jibreel came to me, and he told me that there was filth on my shoes. And so if a person sees that there's something, or for example, your awrah becomes uncovered or something like that, yeah, that's obligatory. You move to fix it. Sister's hijab falls off or something, I don't know, like just some movement
right.
to be done.